you're going to do when you get home. Are you going to ride your skateboard, your bike? Or if you're a teenager, where are you going to go in your car? What you doing? Well, all kinds of thoughts. So we're going to talk about thought life today. And all kinds of thoughts go through our minds sometimes. What would you say if the thought came to your mind to worship the devil? That'd be really bad, wouldn't it? I mean, really bad. How many agree with me? That'd be a really bad thought. Did you know that in the story we're going to read today, that thought came to the person in the story? It did. Let's turn to Luke chapter 4 and read, okay? Luke chapter 4, we're going to read. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." Then the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. So, if you worship me," is it there? "So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. So we want to talk about thought life, and I have three questions that I want to talk about today. And the first one is this: do good Christians ever have waves of evil thought crash over their minds? Do good Christians ever have waves of evil thoughts crash over their minds? Well, let's look at Luke 4 again in verse 3. What does it say? "Then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Now, God the Father had led him out there to what? Fast and pray. And Satan says, "I got a better idea. You're hungry. Let's turn these stones into bread. You don't have to listen to the Father. You can do it your way." That wasn't a good idea. That was a bad thought that came to Jesus. And then, obviously, when Satan says to him in verse 7, "So if you worship me, it will all be yours," that's a terrible idea, right? And see, God has sent Jesus into this world, what? To come and die on a cross and establish the kingdom of God here on earth and in our lives. And Satan says, "I've got an easier way for you, Jesus. You don't have to go to the cross. All you do is got to bow and worship me, and it'll be all yours." Compromise. Anybody ever been tempted to compromise at work? You ever been tempted? Oh, I remember one time I was working construction. And on Saturdays, the big boss wasn't around, so all the other workers wanted to get paid for 8 hours and only work six. But the problem was Larry, because I wouldn't let him pay me for 8 hours if I only worked six. But the big boss was like, "Where did Larry go then?" You understand? Compromise. We have these tempting thoughts that come to our minds. And then the last one is in verse 9 where he says, "Throw yourself down from here," talking about a huge precipice. How many knows that's not a good idea? So our question, do good Christians ever have waves of evil thoughts crash over their minds? I would have to say Jesus did. How about you? Did bad thoughts come to Jesus? They did. Now, when I was a teenager, one day I was riding my bike, with my best friend. His name was Randy Cox. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, a bird literally landed on his head and started pecking his head. And he goes like, you know, get out of here. And it flew off and it came in and did that several times. And I'm just dying laughing, you know. Here's this guy riding his bike and this bird, yeah. And he starts getting mad at me. He says, you don't understand, that hurt. Well, in a similar way, we'll all experience attacks not from birds, but like Jesus, from evil thoughts. And how many would say, like Randy, it's no fun, it hurts? This is because we'll all be challenged to bat these thoughts away. Everyone sitting here, worshiping so nicely today, will have thoughts that come to your minds that you do not want. Amen? All of us have thoughts that come to us. Sometimes they're really bad thoughts, like being greedy or being angry. Anybody ever have an angry thought come to you? What about a lustful thought? What about a homosexual thought? What about whatever kind of thought you can imagine can come to us as good Christian people? Don't you think Jesus was a good Christian? And he had the thought come to him what? To worship the devil. That's a really bad thought. Now, what's interesting about this whole thing is, let's go back now to verse 1 of chapter 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit when these thoughts came to him. See, sometimes we may get the idea as Christians, if I just pray enough, if I just read my Bible enough, if I'm just full of the Spirit enough, I won't have this happen. Did you know that's not true? In fact, I think it's the opposite. The more you're full of the Spirit, the more you know God's Word, the more the enemy will attack you because he wants to destroy you and the effect you're having on others. Right? So he was full of the Holy Spirit. Yes, being full of the Holy Spirit helps us so that we can resist the temptation, but it doesn't prevent the temptation. Do you get the difference? We can resist it when we're full of the Spirit, but it doesn't mean it prevents the temptation from coming initially. The thoughts come to us. Notice what also says in verse 1. Not only was he had these thoughts come to him, even though he was full of the Spirit, and even though he was being led by the Spirit. That's what it says in the last part of verse 1. It says, and was led by the Spirit in the desert. So here Jesus is full of the Spirit. He's being led by the Spirit, and these thoughts come to him. Did you know Satan attends church too? He loves to attack people even in church. Right? He does. But praise the Lord, God can be with us. And so, do good Christians have waves of evil thoughts crash in their minds, even though we're full of the Spirit, even though we're being led by the Spirit, and even if we're good Christians? Because I believe Jesus was the best Christian there ever was, because he was Christ himself. So there's a couple of principles. So hopefully we got the first thing understood. If you're breathing and you're alive and you're a good Christian, that doesn't mean you won't have bad thoughts come to your mind. We all got that? Okay. Now there's some principles concerning this that I want to mention now. Notice, let's go back to verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. What happened at the Jordan? He wants us to reflect back. That's why Luke, when writing, says, okay, remember he just returned from the Jordan. What happened at the Jordan? Well, if you look in chapter 3, that's where he was baptized, and this dove descends on him, and a voice speaks from heaven and says, this is my beloved son. How many knows that was a cool experience? Now, here's what I want to tell you this. Sometimes the worst thoughts come after the greatest church services. Not always, but sometimes. Why? Because Satan knows God has moved in your life and he wants to undermine what you might do for the kingdom of God. So he attacks. See, we are in a spiritual battle, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the dark things of this world. See, I don't fight people physically. It's in your mind. That's where you do the battle. That's where you battle. And one more thing, it says, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1, was led by the Spirit where? In the desert. Who's out in the desert? Nobody. Sometimes the worst thought attacks come when you're all alone. Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to know what you're looking at. You're by yourself. There's a whole world in here, right? Satan would try to destroy us. So we've answered our first question and added a couple truths. Don't be afraid because of a spiritual high that there may be an attack. Just be ready. Because you can win. Because the Spirit of God is with you. And often it's when you're alone that some of the fiercest attacks come. Now, I don't know about your house, but it seems that no matter what I do and my wife does, you know what happens? Pests get in my house. I've had gnats. I've had flies. I've had spiders. And assorted other things I didn't like. Did you know at one time I even went upstairs and we have a door on one of our bedrooms. I opened it up where we hang extra clothes, and you know what I found in there with my clothes? A bat! What on earth is a bat doing in my house? I can't stand bats, especially when they're in my house. So what did I do? Just shut the door and leave it? No. I took that, it was hanging on one of my shirts. I took that thing out of my house. I don't want it in my house. Did you know it even happens in churches? I used to be a youth pastor. Miami, Florida, first position I had in church. And we was having church service and the pastor was up leading the service. And this is when in the days when they always passed an offering plate, okay? So the ushers were up front and they're praying. And there's a lady sitting on the piano, going to pray the offertory. And all of a sudden, a mouse begins to run around the front of the auditorium. Some of the ladies are putting their legs up, you know, And the pianist goes like this to her husband, points to him, do something. So this guy gets out of his chair and goes in there, stomped on it, killed it right there. We didn't skip a beat. We just kept having church. But that booger was dead. Okay? In other words, I kind of picture evil thoughts like pests, which invade not our physical homes or churches, but our minds. No matter what we do, sometimes they just enter. Am I a bad person because somehow some pests get into my physical house? No. The problem is if I let them remain. And I've been in houses where people let them remain, and it gets pretty nasty, right? The same is true of the pest evil thoughts that come to you. So never let Satan convince you. And this is a very important truth. Hear me, kids. Hear me, teenagers. Never let Satan convince you that because an evil thought has come to you that you are a bad person or that you don't love Jesus. Even something that's really bad, like worshiping the devil. Now, entertaining the thought is a different story, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, though, we need to understand how these pesky little bugs of evil thoughts get into our minds, and what do they bring with them? Okay? So our question then is, where do the waves of thoughts and oceans of emotions come from? See, because I think first we got to understand that often, with an evil thought that comes to us, comes an emotion. You ever sensed it? A thought of anger comes, and you feel anger begin to rise. Do you not sometimes have that happen? or whatever kind of thoughts. Sometimes something else is associated with some type of emotion. Okay? But still, it's, the initial part is not the wrong part, right? We're going to get to what we got to do about it. So where do they come from? Number one, well, let's look at our text again, chapter 4. Where do they come from? Verse 3 says, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Where did it come from? The kingdom of darkness. And if you go a little bit further down in verse 6, verse 5 says, the devil led him, and then in verse 6 it says, and he said to him, I'll give you all their authority. And then the devil keeps speaking and says, so if you worship me, it will all be yours. And then in verse 9 through 10, again, the devil leads him. And then in the middle of verse 9, it says, he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. So three times, Satan suggested a bad, evil thought to Jesus. In other words, the kingdom of darkness suggests evil thoughts to us. The devil is bad, so he's going to suggest bad things, right? Will he not? Yes, he will. But that's not the only way that bad thoughts come. That's just one source. If you know the story of Job in the Old Testament, this story there tells about a Job who was blessed beyond measure. Satan comes to God and says, God, the only reason he's serving you is you're protecting him. You don't let anything bad happen to him. Let me at him and he'll curse you to your face. God says, okay, you can test him. And so Job has all these really bad things. He loses all his wealth. His children are killed. And he's sitting in a pile of stuff, scraping himself, and he's miserable. And then his wife comes and says, his wife said to him, this is Job 2:9, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. That's not a good thought that she's suggesting, is it? Hey, honey, just curse God and die. So sometimes other people even will suggest bad things to us. And if we're not careful, we can suggest bad things to other people, right? Even good Christians, sadly, blow it and need to repent. Remember Peter? As Jesus was going in towards the end of his life, and Jesus said, I'm going to go to the cross and all this, and Peter says, no, don't do it. Jesus turns to him and says, get thee behind me, Satan. See, Satan had placed that thought in Peter's mind and he had expressed it, and Jesus recognized the ultimate source as the enemy. But Peter had expressed that. Sometimes a thought will come to us, the initial thought, and we shouldn't express it, right? We always say, think before you speak. Maybe it should be pray before we speak sometimes, right? Pray before you speak, because it may not be from the Lord what we want to say. And so Satan suggests these things. Other people introduce thoughts to us. And then the last place is obviously we can choose to think on evil things. That's what it says in Mark 7:21. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts. See, we can choose to think evil thoughts, can we not? So our first question is, do good Christians ever have bad thoughts or evil thoughts, however you want to put it, come to them? Yes, the answer is yes. Where do they come from? Well, there's three sources. The kingdom of darkness, other people, and we ourselves can choose. But we must resist that. So what do we get? Now the last question is then, now that we know we will encounter evil thoughts and we realize where they come from, we must learn not to entertain them. So let's talk about countering evil thoughts, emotions, and desires. How to deal with these pesky evil thoughts that come to us. Number one, guard your mind. You've got to guard your mind. You can't stop every evil thought from coming into your mind. You can't stop every little pest from coming into your house. but you sure can allow them, stop them from continuing to be there when you once see them. Anybody kill a fly lately in your house? I have. Okay? I didn't like it. That's what you got to do. So first, you got to guard your mind. Guard your mind. Now, and I mentioned this before, but you know what? Everywhere I go, everybody's on their phone. If I'm in the airport, everybody's like this. If I'm in a, I was in a restaurant not too long ago with my daughter in Wisconsin. I'm looking around. Here's a family sitting just right next. Every single one of them was on their phone. Mom, dad, and the kids. What are they looking at? What's in here? There's some good things, amen? There's some cool things. There's some funny things, right? Nothing wrong with that. But also, there's some really bad things. Guard what you let in through this or through your TV or through your radio, through your computer. Guard your mind. It's after you. You know, no. Because it's like no matter what you do, somebody's trying to get into your world to suggest something that's not good. So we must guard our minds. Next thing is, we got to be like Jesus, and this is what he did. Replace evil thoughts with good thoughts. Okay? Let's look at verse 3. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. That's the bad thought. Jesus says what? No, I got a better idea. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. So Satan says, turn the stone into bread. Jesus says, no, I got a better thought. Man doesn't live by bread alone. And then the next thought was, worship me. Satan said that. What does Jesus say in verse 8? Jesus says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. These are quotations from the Old Testament. It is written in the Old Testament, worship the Lord. And the same thing again when Satan suggests in verse 9, throw yourself down. What does Jesus counter? In verse 12, he says, it says, the Bible says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So he says, Satan, the kingdom of darkness says, think this. Jesus says, no, I'm going to think this. That's what you have to do time and time again. You've got to push those thoughts out. Man doesn't live by bread alone. Worship the Lord. Do not test the Lord or tempt the Lord. That's what we got to do. When those thoughts of greed come, we say, no, I'm going to be generous. When those thoughts of anger, no, I'm going to be gracious. I'm going to think on God's word. Fill your mind with God's word. That's part of guarding your mind. Fill your mind with the word of God. Fill your mind with good things. Things of joy and peace and love that are consistent with the Word of God. Because evil thoughts can be attractive, but the Word of God points them out for what they really are. There was one time I read about a radio report of a middle school in Oregon. They faced a unique situation. Maybe this happens at Peru. I don't think it does. But anyhow, it happened in a middle school in Oregon. What was happening is that some of the young ladies started wearing lipstick, and when they did, they kept kissing the mirrors in the bathrooms. So there was these lip prints all over the mirrors. And the principal finally had it up to here with the girls kissing the mirrors and leaving all their lip prints on there. So she called the girls into the bathroom, called the custodian, and said, now, girls, you're causing tremendous problems for our custodians. They have to clean this off all the time. So I want him to demonstrate how much work it is. So the janitor took out a big, long-handled brush, dipped it in the toilet, started scrubbing on that mirror. They never had another problem again. Okay? Well, if you will only see the crud that Satan is suggesting by seeing what God says, you'll say, I never want to kiss that thought again. Amen? Because that's what it is. It's evil, it's terrible, it destroys, but he puts it in such attractive packages that we must say, no, this is what God has said. This is what I must think on. This is what I must do. And the Word of God is often the key in that. The key in that. Got something in my pocket. They're going to put a picture of it up too. Acorn. How many of you could pick this up? Probably everyone here just about. Pretty easy. If I drop it in the ground, water a little bit, what's going to happen eventually? It's going to start to grow. It's going to grow. And maybe after a year, I'd have a little tree about that big. You know, when it's that big, I can pull it out. Just go rip. But what happens if I leave it there for a few years and a few more years? Gets a little bit harder, right? Now, I got a picture of my tree in my backyard, and they're going to put that up. That's the tree in my backyard. See a little bit of my garage? That's the top of my garage. My tree goes way up. It's an oak tree. I dare any of you to try to go rip that out with your bare hands. But it started like this. This is just like an evil thought that drops into our mind. At first, you can easily take it out and say, no, I don't want that. I'm going to think on God's word. But you allow it to stay there and allow life to water it. It's going to begin to grow. And pretty soon, it's a little thing. You can still pull it out pretty easy, but you let it stay there long enough, and it's going to be like that tree. There are people who've done that. Maybe you've known somebody who's consumed with anger. They just allowed that thought to dwell there, and pretty soon it grew and grew and grew and grew. Or maybe whatever it was, greed or whatever. So my friends, don't do that. As soon as that thought, many times when somebody's done something to me that hurts me, you know what I begin to say? No, I'm not going to allow anger. I'm not going to allow bitterness into my life. And I keep telling myself, no, no, no. Why? Because I know if I allow that thought just to rest there a while, it's going to begin to grow. It's going to begin to grow. And I don't want that in my heart and life. So what do we got to do? What do we got to do? We said then that first thing we got to do to counter these thoughts is to guard our minds. Try to keep out as much crud as you can. Then when they come, when Satan attacks us and other people suggest these things, replace it with a good thought. And the last thing is found in verse 2, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. See, we only read three temptations, but this was a 40-day battle. Have you ever had thoughts just come like that bird's, my friend, just keep coming? This happened for 40 days. So what do you got to do? Be persistent. That's it. You got to be as persistent as a 2-year-old is who keeps asking, how much longer until we get there? As persistent as utility companies are at sending out bills. As persistent as the sun is coming up every morning. In other words, every time that evil thought comes, you say no. And it comes again, you say no. It comes again, no, 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 no. I mean no. I said no, no. I said again, no, no. I will not, no, no. I resist, no, no, no. As many times as they come, you must say no. Hopefully you don't have a 40-day battle like Jesus did. But you will have some battles where you got to say no again and again and again. And since we have younger people here today, I want to conclude with this story. Because this is not just for adults. It's for everybody. Oh, yes, when you're younger, you have battles with different thoughts than you do as an as a teenager and as you do as an adult, as you do as middle-aged, and as you do as an older adult. There's all different things. See, that's why as you mature physically, you have different attacks from the enemy. When I was in junior high school, I was probably about 7th or 8th grade. One day I was out on the in the school, out, and we had a big field out there. We used to play sports. And so we were bunch of the kids said, "Hey, let's play soccer." I said, "Yeah, I love sports. I can't do as much as I used to, but I do love sports." So anyhow, we was playing soccer, and every time I turned around, somebody was running me over. It's like, what on, I began to think, this has got to be the roughest soccer game I've ever been in my life. And you know how it ended? It ended with a kid knocked me down, and several kids then just piled on top of me. And as I was laying under this pile of kids hurting, all of a sudden, I had the strongest urge I've ever had in my life to let out some words that nobody should say. Okay? And it just, I just like this overwhelming urge just to go, oh, and I thank the Lord he helped me and I didn't. A few days later, another kid came up to me and said, "Larry, do you know what happened the other day?" I said, "No." And he said, "Us kids got together and we decided we were going to try to get you to cuss." That's a true story. See, just like Job's wife, Satan was trying to cause problems in my life, and he was using other people. And it was when I was young, and it still can happen. So kids, guard your minds. There may be some kids say, "Oh, come over here and look at this." You may not, shouldn't go see that or listen to this or whatever. And when you're older, you have the same things at work, right? We all have peer pressure. But praise the Lord, he can help us. See, being full of the Spirit doesn't stop it from coming, but it enables us to overcome. So some of you may say, "Larry, I need to pray. We need his help. Otherwise, a seed is going to plant in our heart, and it's going to begin to grow, and it won't end good, my friends." I've seen it happen enough times to know it doesn't end good. But if we'll keep saying no, "No, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to think on what's good. It'll turn out good." Dear Father, these are precious people that love you.